May I have your attention, please?
Your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
Good afternoon and welcome to Attention Please. We at KPTZ present Attention Please to illustrate the good work being done to build community in Eastern Jefferson County and wherever else KPTZ is heard around the world. I'm Phil Andrus. With me on this week's Attention Please is Reed Berry, Research and Collections Coordinator for the Jefferson County Historical Society, and Ellie DiPietro, Director of Research and Collections for the very same society. Our topic is the County Cemetery. Reed and Ellie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Phil.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Ellie, you have been on with me so many times, I'm not going to ask your background, but I am going to ask Reed's background, because when I got the email from Tara about you, I had never even heard your name. So how long have you been with the Society, and describe your duties, your job, what do you do?
Sure. Well, I've been at the Historical Society for about a year and a half now, I'd say. I have a background more in insect ecology and conservation, but found my way here to do some museum work, which I was really excited to get to do, and then this project sort of fell into our laps right when I started. So I got a cool opportunity to begin putting my research skills back into play and do it in a context with history rather than natural science.
So you said insects.
Oh, yeah.
So the first thought that came to mind, insects, cemeteries, is the worms crawling, the worms crawl out. How did this project fall into your lap?
I mean, truly just fell into my lap out of the blue. Shelley approached us, or approached me, and said, the county wants to learn more about this county cemetery property. Shelley had already known that it at one point had been a cemetery, and she offered it to me as a research opportunity, and I accepted because I thought it would be really fascinating. There's no real overflow between the bug stuff and the cemetery stuff, though, unfortunately for me.
So where is it? Locate it for us, please.
So the county cemetery is just north of 25th Street on the north side of Laurel Grove Cemetery. Redmond Cemetery is on the eastern boundary of the county cemetery, and there's a small portion of the county cemetery that extends to the south of 25th Street, if that sort of puts it into context. So it shares two borders with two separate cemeteries that have all been set up and operated during the same era. And so with that recent news about the sort of encroachment onto the county cemetery, it's actually really, really relevant to the entire history of that property, because those borders have been blurry and fuzzy pretty much for as long as the cemeteries have existed.
So sequence of development of those three cemeteries, what is the sequence? Which came first, which was second, and which was the last?
Laurel Grove was established in 1871. The county cemetery was established in 1872. And Redmond Cemetery was established in 1902.
Since you're becoming by necessity an expert about cemeteries in Port Townsend and perhaps all of the county, I understand about Laurel Grove, but I don't know who the Redmen were. Are there still Redmen?
This is an interesting cemetery and an interesting fraternal organization. As far as I know, they are still operating. The local chapter of the Improved Order of Redmen in Port Townsend disbanded in 1933, but there is still a national organization.
We think.
we
don't know much about them, and they aren't very prominent here or anywhere else. Your research took you back at least to 1870. Describe Port Townsend, if you can, in 1870, so we know the historical context, the cultural context of a cemetery established so long ago.
Port Townsend in roughly 1870 would be a shadow of what it is today. It would be a lot of wood structures. We wouldn't see the brick buildings that we see today. There would be a lot more mud. The tide line and flats were a lot more active in places like what is now Point Hudson. And we see as active real estate where you can park cars was a little bit more soupy and a little bit less exciting to walk on. The connection between Water Street and Highway 20 or Sims Way didn't exist at that point in time. It was a cart path that could only be traveled during the correct tide and assuming you didn't have too much in your wagon. The separation between uptown and downtown was a little bit more pronounced. You couldn't drive your car, clearly, because there weren't cars in 1870, but there would be zigzag steps where people could climb up and down the bluff. Horses didn't really enjoy going on the steep roads that connected the two of them, so there was a little bit more more of a separation between those two. But uptown itself wasn't as bustling as downtown. It was still a major shipping location, so people would be bringing in their ships. The sailors would be enjoying all that Port Townsend had to offer at that time. So it was a little bit more of a dusty or muddy, wood-framed frontier western town.
So in those times, how formally managed was the disposition of bodies? People were dying all the time, of course. How frequent was it for informal cemeteries to be established on private property, especially for infants and children?
From what I could tell from my research, it was fairly common for infants to be buried on the property of their family or in the backyard or something like that. The county in particular seemed to have some trouble really documenting burials, and it wasn't until 1907 when the state required death certificates to be kept by the county that we really started getting these kind of robust ways of tracking deaths and burials. Prior to that, there were several different resources that we've been able to use. One was the United States Marine Hospital kept their own register of patients and deaths. They didn't necessarily say where somebody was buried, but it's a good way to follow people to their death and then maybe find out, based on some context clues, where they might have been buried. The county purportedly was planning to keep a register of people buried at this county cemetery, but it is not clear if they ever actually kept that record. So as far as the county material goes, we have to rely on their commissioner's minutes. They are hit or miss. Sometimes they will say, oh, we paid so-and-so money to this person to bury four bodies, and that's about it. Other times it will say, we paid this person this amount of money to bury one specific person with an actual name in this cemetery. There certainly wasn't a way of tracking the locations in the county cemetery where people were buried. And actually, the United States Marine Hospital, when they set up a plat in the county cemetery around 1900, the manager of that hospital said that prior to that point, the bodies had essentially just been buried in the county cemetery willy-nilly, like wherever there was space. So it seemed like it wasn't especially well-regulated in the 19th century and then going into the early 20th century.
Why did the county think it was county's responsibility to build a cemetery?
So the county maintained a couple of cemeteries prior to this cemetery. They maintained initially a cemetery out on the corner of Van Buren and Jefferson out near the post office. That was the earliest burial site in Port Townsend, and I've only really been able to find a mention of it. It almost feels legendary to me at this point because I haven't been able to track it down. Those bodies were purportedly moved sometime in probably the 1860s, maybe early 1870s, to a newer county cemetery that was at the end of Tyler Street, I guess at the corner of F Street and Oak Street now. There was an acre that was originally a cemetery. All of those bodies were purportedly moved by 1896, but in 1906 there was a notice put into the newspaper that there might still be bodies there and that people had to move them, otherwise the county would have to pay for them. So the county, by state law, was required to care for burials, especially for poor soldiers that didn't have the means for burials themselves or their families didn't have the means for burials. There was some state level policy that enabled the county to maintain the cemetery. And I think also just the sheer number of deaths. A few other cemeteries in town at the time, there was need to bury the people that wouldn't be buried at those maybe nicer cemeteries like Laurel Grove, which has this aura of being a more respectable cemetery. And the county cemetery is where the county just buried everybody else.
Pauper's graves then?
Yes.
Among the everybody else would have been, and I don't mean in any way to suggest this is my worldview, but I think in these times even, but certainly in those times, Native Americans were part of everybody else. Chinese were part of everybody else. How were their bodies disposed of?
In the same way as they were disposed of for the poor, the paupers. We have found a few records of indigenous people being buried at this county cemetery, and in almost all cases, they were people who died in the county jail, either by suicide or otherwise, and then the county had to pay to bury them. Doesn't seem like there was necessarily any contact with local tribal neighbors about how that process would go. And as we see in Laurel Grove with Chichmahan's grave, there was this idea that these early white settlers wanted to afford proper white respectable burials to at least the indigenous people that they thought deserved to have that sort of burial, not necessarily looking into the actual indigenous burial practices. And with the Chinese folks, the Chinese community here in early Port Townsend accounted for about a quarter of the population. There was in this county cemetery a separate segregated fenced off section that was for Chinese burials. There seems to be a little bit of lore around this location. I've only really been able to find record for about 11 Chinese immigrants or Chinese Americans who were buried at that cemetery in that section. I think that is an artifact of the resources that are available for research, because all of those burials would have occurred after 1907 when I start having death certificates to reference. By 1907, the Chinese community in town was a fraction of the size that it was in the 19th century. And so I suspect that many more burials had occurred prior to 1900 and were just never enumerated because it was during a time where the county wasn't keeping very clear records of their burials.
My understanding, too, is that the remains of Chinese people were exhumed and sent back to China.
That was a very common practice in this region. I have not been able to find any indication that it actually happened with this cemetery. There was an incentive for the county to allow a Chinese delegation to come and remove burials. The county would actually be getting almost a stipend. They would be receiving some money for that activity, and I haven't been able to find any record of that. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. It was certainly a common practice and was something that Chinese communities were seeking to repatriate these bodies back to, most likely, specifically the Tonghua Hospital in Hong Kong. I just haven't been able to really nail that one down.
Understanding from the timeline that you sent me, which was in great detail and quite impressive, is that for a while in the late 19th century, property owned by an F.W. Pettigrove called the Old County Burial Ground was used for burials, and maybe dedicated at one point by Mr. Pettigrove, and then he changed his mind.
Doesn't seem like he changed his mind. Possibly. It's kind of difficult to parse out what happened in that situation. F.W. Pettigrove, at some point prior to 1870, donated a one-acre parcel of land. This is the cemetery I mentioned earlier that's at the end of Tyler Street, kind of where F and Oak Street intersect. That was set aside specifically for the burial of Port Townsend residents, and sometime in it might even have been in the 1880s earlier on, F.W. Pettigrove was putting into the paper notices saying, hey, if you have friends or family buried here, you need to move them. And now whether this was because he knew, being, you know, buddies with the county administrators, that there was going to be another cemetery, it's unclear. It might have been that he did want to develop the property and put a road through it. In any case, those bodies were still there by 1907, as far as I can tell.
So aside from the possibility that there's folks buried here and there that we don't know about, because things were rather loosely structured in the late 19th century, there also were these official, for a while, cemeteries. Bodies were, at somebody's cost, probably most of them and perhaps not all of them, moved to the county cemetery and also possibly to Laurel Grove or Redmond's. What was the cost of that process of exhuming or digging up, we might say, the bodies and then putting them into the ground elsewhere?
In 1872, when the county was looking into what it would cost to move all of those 108 potential burials in that old county cemetery, they did figure out a cost per person, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was $5 or something like that per person to exhume and transport and then rebury in the county cemetery.
And so wherever these other cemeteries were, that location or those locations could be identified, and somebody's house is probably at this point sitting upon a former cemetery. I wonder if these folks know about that.
It's a good question. Every time I drive past that block now, I think about this cemetery and think about an article in the Leader in somewhere around 1962, I want to say, where somebody was talking about her father working on building the houses that are there now, and during excavation for those properties, came across some remnants of markers, gravestones, and it wasn't clear if there were still bodies in the area, but there was certainly evidence of there having been that cemetery.
So in these times for these informal cemeteries that eventually were discontinued, then the county cemetery, were coffins used?
Yes, yes. Most likely wooden, simple structures. There were several funeral homes and mortuaries in the city that operated consistently from the early 1880s until the 1940s. There's about five or six of them that keep popping up. I found in the county commissioner's minutes one mention where the Port Townsend Mortuary was really listing exactly what the cost to the county would get them, and it was a simple casket, you know, with four rails on the side to carry the casket. It paid for the digging of the grave, the filling of the grave, and preparation of the body.
So over the years, various groups petitioned to have their own area within the county cemetery. It's not clear to me from reading the material you sent me whether that or those goals actually were achieved, and for that matter, whether that segregation has been sustained over the many years.
So in 1899, the county initially platted this cemetery, and that plat map, which is available through the Jefferson County Assessor's website portal, shows some very specific layout for that property. There's about four or five fenced off separate sections that were for different fraternal organizations. There was one for the Coast Seamen's Union. There was one for the Knights of Pythias, the Order of Odd Fellows, and Marine Firefighters Association.
All this for 4 acres.
All of this for 4 acres. And it seems early on that only the southern half of that property was even in use. In 1909, they replatted the cemetery, and that map looks very different from the 1899 map, which is bizarre because I would have assumed that those burials would have been marked fairly well early on, or at least the boundaries of those different fenced off sections would be fenced off and marked by fences. But the newer plat map is just completely different. It still has some different sections set aside for those fraternal organizations. Another sort of wrench thrown into the mix here is that many of those same fraternal organizations, the Knights of Pythias, the Order of Odd Fellows, they all had plots set up at Laurel Grove and at Redmond Cemetery at different times. And so when I was looking into the death certificates or any of the vital records trying to understand where these people were buried, often it would just say in Coast Seamen's Union Cemetery. Okay, well, that could be any of these three cemeteries, depending on the time, depending on who was writing out the death certificate information, who was writing the obituary. So it was pretty fuzzy, even from the beginning.
So from the notes you sent me, I will read, probably a bit abbreviated, the last burial with any possible documentation in the county cemetery was the body of one Hans Holland, though his obituary states he was buried in Laurel Grove. That gives rise to two questions, at least. Where was he buried, really, if we know? Who was he? And was there something disgraceful about being buried in the county cemetery that would make his relatives want to say he was buried somewhere where he was not?
It does seem like there was a stigma to this cemetery. It might be a modern sort of interpretation that we're putting onto it. It might have actually been stigmatized during that time. It was where poor people tended to be buried just because there wasn't any alternative for them. One interesting bit of data that I've learned during this process is that only between 1-5% of all burials in that cemetery were women. And I still can't quite figure out exactly why. I have a couple hypotheses of, you know, if these were married women, it was likely that they would have been buried in maybe a family grave or a family plot in Laurel Grove, especially if there was still family money available for them. There were also some benevolent or beneficiary associations in the region and in the area or in Port Townsend that were helping to raise money for burials in Laurel Grove. These were, you know, often groups that were connected with the fraternal organizations and or with, you know, the women's auxiliary organizations, and were seemingly raising funds specifically to bury people in Laurel Grove rather than being buried by the county where all the other people were buried.
I believe you said the last burial in the county cemetery was in the 1940s.
Yes.
Why was it essentially abandoned then?
I cannot tell you. I have no clue. It seems like it just fizzled away. It might be because as county administrators, as there was overturn in terms and people working, it seems like maybe there was a shift to just focusing on different things. And if there was a very active, beneficial association helping to pay for burials of certain people in Laurel Grove or in Redmond Cemetery or in one of the other 16 cemeteries in the county, that might help explain why it seemed to just fizzle out. But even in the late 1930s, after the local order of the Improved Order of Redmond disbanded, the county was looking at Redmond Cemetery as a potential place to start burying poor. And they were looking into this in, I want to say, 1938 or somewhere around then. So that suggests that they stopped burying poor people or people without means in the county cemetery and were trying to find a new place to bury them. The people who were administrating at the county level or people who were involved with the city government, a lot of these same names pop up in relationship to the fraternal organization. So Clark Aldrich Jr., I want to say, he was the deputy coroner for a couple of years in the 1930s, and he was the one suggesting, oh, we should maybe acquire Redmond Cemetery to perform our burial of the poor. He was also a part of that fraternal organization, so it seems like there was some personal motives going on about where people would be buried depending on who was in charge of these burials.
I would not myself know how to find the county cemetery, so I would ask you to take me there. If you did take me there, what would I see?
You would see an overgrown forest. You would think you were just looking at undeveloped property. Last time I was out there, it's pretty well grown up again. There's a couple trails, probably deer trails, but probably people trails too, that cut through that property. For the most part, it is impenetrable though.
Therefore, no headstones.
We have only found 9 headstones, or I should say Ed Arthur, who performed an archaeological assessment of this property for the county in 2020, found evidence of 9 headstones or markers, and then a few other locations that might be graves, piles of rocks or depressions, but is just so overgrown that you can't really get equipment in there to perform some of that ground penetrating radar. A few people have suggested that grave sniffing dogs might be a good idea for this cemetery because it is difficult to do anything in there as people with our large people bodies. Also, if those early graves and those early markers were made out of wood, it is very likely that they have just disintegrated and will never be found.
And then clearly there is no one who comes to these nearly impossible, if not impossible, to find headstones to put flowers on birthdays. People who are buried there, maybe they're not forgotten totally, but they're not remembered around any of their special days.
Sure. And there's, I want to say, 2 or 3 headstones that are actually complete enough. They have the name of the person buried, date they died, or even a birth date. 2 come to mind, Thomas Dykes and Gleason Graham. I should say the 2 other markers that come to mind are in Japanese, not Chinese. We've got a rough sort of translation from the archaeological assessment in 2020 for one of those, but I think it might need some more eyes to look at those and figure out exactly kind of who that person is, because I haven't been able to find very much record of that particular person in my research.
So you presented yourself as an entomologist who now is working as a historian. I'm wondering what this history project has taught you, what you've learned from it, and how it might have changed your life.
Well, I learned, it solidified that I enjoy doing research, whether it be history or bugs. I'll always have a fondness for bugs, but this is kind of where I'm at right now, and it is fascinating. It was also a really great way for me, who's newly local to this area, to learn about some of the history here and to learn about some of the forgotten history, as a lot of these folks, if they were poor or if they were people of color, were sort of administratively erased by the county, who was keeping poor records early on.
If the county cemetery is important, if it is, I mean, it sounds like it's abandoned and it's looking to be like another somewhat wild forested area that we're pretty familiar with around here. If it is important, why would it be?
Well, it tells a part of the history here in town, and I mean, the county in a larger way, but in Port Townsend, you know, we see this same narrative of the early white settlers over and over and over again, and that narrative is solidified in places like Laurel Grove, where these early families and these well-known people have these beautiful, large, ornate marble markers and beautiful family plots, and people go and leave them flowers and memorialize them regularly. The people in the county cemetery, they didn't necessarily get that opportunity, and a lot of the people here, it's likely that they didn't even have family in this region. There were about a third of the burials there were sailors, people that came in on ships in the very robust maritime activities during the early part of Port Townsend, but they died here. They died at the Marine Hospital, and then they had nowhere to be buried other than at the expense of the county in this place that was just kind of remnants. It sounds awful to say that.
Reed, in the timeline you assembled, I read, this is edited for brevity, in a letter to the leader, Port Townsend leader, written by Lola E. Beach, she recounts graves being moved and markers placed in a new site on the north end of the new cemetery. In my day, she writes, some of these old markers were still standing, but whether or not they marked the resting places of the correct persons was anybody's guess. She goes on to note that her father was building a basement on a property located on the site she's talking about, and he dug up a marble tombstone, which he brought home and used as a stepping stone to his outhouse. Things were very informal in those days. Reed Berry and Ellie DiPietro, it's been a pleasure to have this conversation. Thank you for joining me on Attention Please. All the information you're digging up as you do your research and all that you've learned about the county cemetery, and I would actually like to have you take me there one day, although not this day. Do let us know as you unearth more remains of the history of Port Townsend. Since you're going to be working at your job, I'll be glad to talk to you again on Attention Please about Jefferson County or Port Townsend. Thanks for talking with me today. The song you're hearing in the background is Lightnin' Hopkins and the blues classic See That My Grave Is Kept Clean. Attention Please is aired on Monday at noon and at 5 on Saturday at noon and is posted on the KPTZ podcast page under Attention Please immediately after the first broadcast on Monday at noon. Send your questions and comments about this edition of Attention Please to cats@kptz.org. I'm Phil Andrus. Thanks for listening. Bye now.
You know it's two white horses in a line. Two white horses in a line. Two white horses in a line. Gonna take me to my burying ground.